going to preach this morning from the last verse in the Old Testament. I would like you to turn with me to Malachi 4 and verse 6. This verse says, maybe we'll read verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." One could very profitably preach from the earlier verses in this chapter, but this morning I know that time is a constraint and will not do that. I would like to touch on some of that, but nevertheless, he says that the coming time was going to be a time when the heart of the fathers were turned toward the children and the heart of the children to their fathers. And then he says something very astounding. He says, "Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And this morning, we're going to talk about that a little bit, that there is a curse coming unless this foundational principle is found. And he was talking about the New Testament, the New Covenant, when there was a new way of thinking, there was the Holy Spirit dwelling within people and infusing them with life from the Scriptures and from the Holy Spirit. And the one thing that he says that is important for us to remember is he could have said a lot of things. He could have said he's going to have a separated people. He's going to have people that don't swear and all those kind of things. But the one thing I think he said and he felt was the most important that a transformed heart is going to do, is going to how they're going to practice, how they're going to exert themselves, is that their children are a big deal. And that their heart is turned toward the children, and the children's heart is turned toward their fathers. Now, you ask what might that mean to be turned towards each other? I believe that there is a connection between the children and the fathers that is meaningful and has an impact on the children's lives. And, you know, I know this is not Father's Day today. I know it's long ways from Father's Day. But if there's anything I think is that I believe in, it's that fathers must play a prominent role in their children's life, in influencing them. Now, we're not going to let the sisters off the hook altogether this morning, but we're going to talk about fathers and their relationship with their children and how they get that accomplished. I have often said that next to salvation itself, a father is the most important dynamic in a person's life. And I know there's a lot of young fathers here and a lot of fathers, young fathers to be. And I am passionate about this subject because I see it as so important. When I've been around in church work the last number of years, and there's so many times when we have people that are hard to relate to and are, you know, that we need to work with people. We find that their father was dysfunctional. Find that their father was absent. We find that their father didn't care. And so this morning, I would like to talk about this subject of the children, hearts being turned towards their fathers and the fathers to the children. You might say it's an old subject, and you might be bored, but nevertheless, I believe it is one of the most important subjects. If we are going to have a generational church life, if Pine Creek is going to be a conservative, biblical, evangelical, Mennonite church 100 years from now, if the Lord doesn't tarry, it's an important subject. It's vitally important. And what does it mean to have a heart turned toward the children? They consider their child's needs, their emotional needs, their spiritual needs, and of course their physical needs. That is the easy one for most of us. Provide. In 2025, it's not too hard to provide for our own. Maybe a little trouble, but not too hard. But dear fathers, this morning, to meet the emotional needs of your children is a big deal. Spiritual needs. And I think that it's really important that we understand how we do this. And the verse itself says, it gives us the penalty for not doing this. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The penalty for children not having a relationship with their fathers and fathers not having a relationship with their parents, their fathers especially, there's a curse coming. It says that, just bluntly says it. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That means, the curse means devastation and loss and things will not be preserved. One of the signs of a man that is truly born again is that he really cares about his children. I mean that he loves them and he gives them direction, he guides them, and he even disciplines them sometimes. But primarily he's seriously interested in providing an environment for his children that they will embrace, or they will have the faith laid before them, and that they will, well, Proverbs says that raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. We realize and we understand that each person has a will, and sometimes they exercise that will against the parents' best advice and against their best teaching and against, you know, they do that. We see that sometimes. But nevertheless, I think the promise is true that when we teach a child, we train up a child in the way that he should go, that he most often embraces the faith. Most often. But we realize that there is a will in each person. And I don't have the time or the ability or to present everything that need to be presented. I want to go to just a few pages over in your Bible for the principles from this in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount for the principles of the message today. That was the initiation of the new covenant, and I'm always interested in the change of the old and the new, but we're not going to do that this morning. There was 400 years of silence from the Old Testament till the new, silence from God, that there was not men who heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and wrote the words of God. But be that as it may, let's we'll launch into the message itself on men of God with a heart turned toward their children is the title of the message this morning. Men of God with a heart turned toward their children. Now, it's a long, relatively long title, I understand, but that's, I guess, says it accurately. Yeah, so, number one, the world and the church need men that take an active role in their children and in the people they lead. You can make this very general in say in talking about leadership in general. I despise the Lord and the serf mentality that so often leadership has. You know, like in the medieval times, they had a Lord that owned everything, and they had the serf that did everything, that did the work, that hoed the corn, and they just worked for a little bit of nothing, and the Lord was told them what to do. I despise that in our churches, but that's another subject for another day. But our people, our men, need to take an active role in your children that you're responsible for, and primarily your children. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 17.6 million children, nearly one in four, now get this, this is important, live without a biological father or stepdad or adoptive father in the home. So one in four live without a biological father or an adoptive father or a stepdad in the home. That's one in four. So it's even way less than that has a biological father. And one in four, 17.6 million children, that's enough children to fill New York City twice or Los Angeles four times. Today, what can we expect from our society if the fathers aren't present in a fourth of our children, and we consider what Malachi says, that there's a curse coming? What are we up to? What are we going to see? I'll tell you what we're going to see. We're going to see devastation and a curse because of the absenteeism of fathers. That's what. These statistics that I gave from the U.S. Census Bureau, so I know they're fairly accurate. And I think that we should be aware of this. Fathers play practical advice. Fathers play with their children in the early years can positively contribute to children's social, emotional, and cognitive outcomes. Children learn to think because their fathers play with them. Are you doing it? I don't think that I was a perfect model of this, but I'm convinced that that's important. Play with your children. Read them stories. Get them up on your lap. The hay can wait till tomorrow. Emotionally unavailable fathers have a negative impact on their children in many ways. These fathers often prioritize material things, of all things, over your children. other people, people that come, and, you know, and their work over their children. When you prioritize things over your children, your most precious possession, it has a negative impact on them, and it's a huge impact. And fathers, engage your children in emotional conversations and make your relationship a place where they want to facilitate your love and they feel safe to discuss things that they're fearful of. You know, we can respond in one or two ways. When your children come down in the middle of the night and there's thunderstorm outside and they're afraid, you can say, go back upstairs. We've never been hurt by a thunderstorm at all. It's going to be all right. Or you can invite your children into your room and say, we are going through this thunderstorm together. That's what Christian fathers do that care about their children and have a heart turned toward their children. By ignoring them through work and being so busy that all they get is our leftover responses after a hard day of work. And when you are emotionally exhausted, all you have left is short, curt responses. You are an absentee father, in a sense. That's point number one. We can't be absentee fathers. You have to engage your children. Point number two. Another very simple point. What are your real values? What do you care about? Jesus said in Matthew 6, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We must determine, dear ones, what our treasure is. Your treasure will show by what you value, what you talk about, what you spend your time on, and where you invest your resources. That's your treasure. Get it straight, man. Where you invest, what you talk about, that's your treasure. Is your heart on something else, your business, your favorite podcast, or 1,000 other things, and are not building a relationship with your children, then, my dear friends, you are an absent father. You tell your children how they are valued by the time and priority that you placed on them. Many times in this world, the term quality time is used, and I think you should spend quality time with your children, but I am also encouraging you to spend quantity of time with your children. Many times we talk, we think that if we have that talk under the shade tree, along the sidewalk with your children, we can gain the child's heart, and that is part of it. But you gain your child's heart by 1,000 incidental ways in which you behave yourself. in which you live your life. You are demonstrating your real values by how you live your life. Your children are intelligent, and they will catch on. I ask you this morning, what are your real values? Do you care about your children? Over the farm, over your business, over your whatever you might have. Your attitude will bleed through into your expressions. Your children will catch on. I ask you this morning, what are your real values? Matthew 6:33, very similar. It says that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. And that word really means it's not like the first of a number of things, like not on the top list of priorities and you have 10 different priorities, but to seek first is that's the only thing we seek. Seek first the kingdom of God. What do you say about the kingdom of God that you're part of? Are you passionate about the part of the kingdom you're part of? Point number three. Kingdom membership is formally enlisting with another bunch of believers in a church. In a church. Kingdom membership is a formal enlisting into a church in a lot of ways. And I ask you this morning, and hasten on here, take the test of church attendance. Are you taking your children to church? Hope so. Take the test of being at church on time. Hope so. What do you say about the church and its leaders? What do you say about the trustee board when they affect the way you take care of the property and the way your children take care of the property? What do you say about the school board? Fathers that love the kingdom of God will formally join and submit to the church and find a way of appreciating them. Every kingdom has rules to abide by and submit to. And the question is, are you missing, Father, when it comes to submitting to the children, to the kingdom, in a formal way? Is your heart turned toward your children? Number four. Are you a man that practices reconciling with your brother, your wife, and your children? You say something to your children immensely when you say, you know, we're not perfect. I sure wasn't, and I don't believe that you are either. But when you make a mistake, and your children know it, do you say, I am sorry? Can you say something that simple? Are you reconciled to your children? Your attitudes bleed through. Your expressions. I need to hasten on. Number five, are you a man of integrity? Matthew 5:37 says, but let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You ought to be a man of integrity. We need fathers who have integrity. They need to understand truth without it being gray. So many of us like to paint truth as gray. And we need to understand truth as truth, black and white. Truth can be two ways. Truth is only one way. Truth. Men of integrity are faithful to what they have promised their wives and their church. Your children catch on. It is not possible, dear ones, and it's all over the scriptures, to have a two kingdom commitment. It is either one kingdom or the other. It's one or the other. It's the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. You promised your church. We asked the applicants for church membership, do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ, His word, and His church, to faithfully abide in the same until death? Or are you a man of integrity in relation to that? Number six, are you a man that is at rest with God's plan for your life? At rest with God's plan for your life. You know, we can complain about life. And we can say that life is not fair, and it seems like that's the way it is. But God and Jesus said that, behold, Solomon, all his glory, wasn't clothed like one of these lilies. And he said, I'll take care of you. Does your life express rest with God's plan for your life? Is covetousness and materialism your yearning for the next property deal and the next farm and the next business? Are you satisfied and content with what God gives you? A man that is at rest with God's plan will humbly thank God for what he has and is provided for them, coming to rest with God. Are you a man that is at rest with God's plan for your life? You know, and there's many practical things that I could say. We need to believe that God is in sovereign control of their life, of your life. A man that worships the American dream cannot be trusting that the principle of allowing God to be in control is in place, and your children will know it. Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Aren't you not much better than they? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We need to believe that God will provide and take care of us. One of the privileges I had in my early days is that my dad prayed for this very principle around the table when we had family devotions. And by the way, do you have family devotions? But he prayed that God would provide and that he would be able to pay his debts and that God would take care of them. Do we trust God for his plan for our lives? He has one for you. And like, what was that quote that was said this morning? Thought about that when I can't think of it right now. But nevertheless, God has a plan for you. Are we willing to embrace God's plan? Or are we allowing the American dream to dominate our plans? Dear ones, the church is in need of men. Need of men this morning to teach school, to serve on the mission field, and to just be faithful members in the pews. And it seems like the affluent society that we are living in is telling us that I can't serve in the lowly job of teaching school. There's not enough money to teach school. You can make $25 an hour, $30 an hour in the construction industry, and to teach school for $2,500 a month. Nah, skip it. Dear ones, if you want your child to embrace the kingdom of God, it's what you do when they're young. They catch on. It's like I said, it's not the proverbial talk in the park. It's how you walk and how you live that turns your heart towards your children and the heart of the children to the fathers. Beware. Absentee fatherism brings